This is file 11, cycle 3. Today's date is June 7th, 2019. This is Jean McMillan, and I am interviewing Gerard Baldwin, alias Jerry, with the bow ties. And he's going to talk about his life and times with everything he's been doing in Salisbury. But first, we're going to start with, what is your name?
Jerry Baldwin.
Ah, I want you to tell me about the first time you came to Lakeville as a small boy.
Well, I was 10 years old, and I'm not sure if I've ever told you this before, but my parents used to come up to the Wake Robin Inn on Columbus weekend. They had one weekend a year where they kind of got away by themselves, and we would have what we called an aunt come and take care of us. Three boys. I was 10, my next brother was 8, and the little guy, he's 8 years younger, so he was only 2. And make a long story short, the aunt came down with the flu or something that did not enable her to come and take care of us. So the parents had two choices. Don't go up to the Wake Robin Inn or go with the children. And they went with the children. And we'd drive around town. We spent time at the Wake Robin. It was a nice, warm weekend, so my second brother and I got to go out in a boat from the dock at the Wake Robin, and we came down, and we had lunch one day at the White Hart, and I just was infatuated with the beauty of the area and always dreamed of, being lucky and being able to come up here and raise my family here.
And that would have been what year?
Well, I was 10, so I was born in 44, so 54.
All right. Now, right after school, you went into the service.
Well, after high school, I went to Niagara University for 1 year. Mm-hmm. Wasn't crazy about it. I was an accounting major. I don't know why. Didn't really enjoy that. And we got snow the third week of school, which was nice. I wasn't wild about that. So make a long story short again, I came home at the end of the school year, told my parents, I really wasn't happy at Niagara and that I'd like to go in and do my military service and then promise them I'd go back to school and get my degree after that. And that's what happened. I went into the Air Force for 4 years, and when I got out of the service, I went to Sacred Heart University in Fairfield and got my degree there, and that took care of the educational, other than graduate school, Delphi University down on Long Island.
Okay, let's go back to the military service. You went into the Air Force. Where did you do your basic training?
Lackland Air Force Base in Texas, San Antonio, Texas.
And you went out to officers training school?
Where? No, I didn't go to officers training. I went to personnel school. After basic training, I went to personnel school in Greenville, Mississippi. 12-week training session. And I was fortunate that at the end of the 12 weeks, the way the system worked is the instructor would put all of the possible assignments up on a blackboard, and depending on your rank in class, you were able to pick. And I knew that was the system, so I worked hard and wound up getting the first pick, mm-hmm. which was Hancock Field up in Syracuse, New York. I still had friends at Niagara University, so I wasn't that far from Niagara, and I wasn't really that far from our home on Long Island to go home and visit myself and Mary Ellen.
Mm-hmm. And you were assigned overseas to where?
I was at Tansanute Airfield. I could spell that for you if you
yes,
want.
Yes, please.
Tansson, capital Nhut. That's actually three words. That's in Saigon, or yep. what is now Ho Chi Minh City.
And when were you discharged?
September of 67.
How long did you spend in Vietnam?
It was 120 days, what they call temporary duty service.
And what did you do?
I checked in people. It was when we were really starting our build-up. When I say we, the country. So they needed people to get over to Vietnam quickly to help process people in. And I was doing all of the personnel paperwork for the airmen that would arrive. We'd go over by bus, pick them up at the airport. There were two sides to the airport, the military side and the civilian side. Most of the, I shouldn't say most, but a good portion of the airmen flying over from San Francisco to Saigon were on commercial chartered flights because there were just so many people coming over. And so we'd pick them up by bus, bring them back to Tan Sanut, and help them fill out their paperwork to make sure we knew who their next of kin was and who to be notified in a god-awful situation where they were missing in action or killed.
Well, just having gone through the D-Day ceremonies, it's rough.
Yeah.
Now, you went to Sacred Heart. When did you graduate?
I graduated in June of 70.
Now, you did something unusual about your credits.
Yeah, I had 2 years left in school when Mary Ellen and I were married. Mm-hmm. So there was a little pressure to finish school as quickly as you could. And she had already completed her nursing school and was working. And I was anxious to complete college and get a job. So I went to the dean and asked him if I could take a bit of an overload on my credits, which took a little bit of talking. He said, I wanted to take 21 credits, and he said, nobody ever takes 21 credits. That's just not in the book. So I said, you know, if you give me a chance and I'm not on the dean's list, I'll never ask you again. And he enabled me to take the 21 credits. So that got me to graduate quicker than I normally would have and go to work and start making a paycheck.
What was your degree?
Banking and finance. Bachelor of Arts, banking and finance.
Now, you really liked the area, mm-hmm. and every move that you made in your banking career, you got closer and closer to the area.
That's
if
right.
I've got this right, you started off in 1970 in the Franklin National Bank in New York City.
New York City, and I was started in New York City, and then I was assigned to Long Island later on, but
and
basically a New York bank.
In 74, you became a bank manager at Great Neck?
Actually 73. Yeah.
In 79, you got into Connecticut to the Colonial Bank in Waterbury.
Correct.
What was your specialty?
Commercial lending.
All right. And in 89, you wound up in Canaan.
89, I got to know the president of Canaan National Bank, and he was looking for a senior commercial lending officer, a senior lending officer, and I interviewed and got the job. So,
who was the president then?
Jim McCleary.
All right. Now, you just took over as lending officer, and there was a problem that developed with the bank.
When I interviewed, I asked for certain records to look over to see what kind of condition the bank was in, and the primary focus for me was on the loan portfolio. As it turned out, the previous senior lending officer and the president really didn't have a grip on how bad the loan portfolio was. And so I was misled only because of their lack of ability to identify a problem loan. I was very fortunate that sort of shortly after I started at the bank, the federal examiners, in the case of a national bank, the controller of the currency, came in and did a full review of us and found the bank to be in pretty bad shape. A short while after that, the bank recognized that the president didn't have a real good grip on things, and so they asked him to leave, and I became president. Without any opportunity to be told how to be president.
Yeah, you learn by doing.
Yeah.
Okay, now you became president, but you didn't have a successor. So what happened then?
Well, I was president for 13 years, and I did not have anybody that was, as I was approaching retirement age, anybody that was an apparent successor to myself. So we began discussions with Salisbury Bank about the possibility of merging, and that took place. That took place in 2004 on 9/11.
Yeah, okay. Who was the president of Salisbury Bank and Trust at that time?
That was John Perotti.
Okay, and his successor is?
Rick Cantelli.
All right.
So I actually reported to Rick, and I was executive vice president and commercial lending officer, which was it's kind of fun to be able to go back to
something.
Taking care of customers and not having to deal with regulators and board of directors and so forth. So,
people are more fun than paper.
Well, I always like dealing with people and helping them, and you know, that was the happiest part of my banking career, not the paperwork part.
But the people part.
Yeah.
When did you retire?
Retired the last day of January 2010.
All right. Is there anything that you'd like to add to your banking career before we go on to other things?
Oh, just that it was a wonderful career, 40 years in banking, couple of different banks, gave me an opportunity to learn a lot, starting in New York, and was, you know, a nice way to be able to raise the family and get them all through college and so forth. So it was a very satisfying career.
Wonderful. Now we're going to talk about Rotary a little bit.
Okay, great.
When did you join Rotary?
Joined Rotary in April of 1976.
But not here.
Not here. I was, at the time I was in Poughkeepsie, and I joined the Poughkeepsie Rotary Club. Was there 3 years in the Poughkeepsie Club, and then when I joined Colonial Bank, Carl Salater, who I know you know.
Oh, yes.
When I joined Colonial, Carl became one of my customers because I covered all of Litchfield County for commercial lending.
Mm-hmm.
And Carl said, why don't you transfer it to the Salisbury Club? He happened to be president of Salisbury at the time, which I did, and I was thrilled to do that. They had a wonderful membership, some really special people.
Oh, yes.
Not the least of which was your husband. And,
definitely he was special.
And some characters.
He was that too.
Yeah.
When did you transfer? What year?
Transfer, that was
79.
Let's see, that was 79, either late 79 or early 80, somewhere right in there.
And the membership at that time was quite large.
Salisbury had 78 when I joined, 78 members. Cal McCormick, you may remember, was the president.
Oh, he was my neighbor.
He was a wonderful man.
He did the newsletter.
Yes.
Oh,
and
yes.
And did a good job with it.
A fantastic job. Were there women in the club at that time?
There were not. No, the women...
they came in later.
My wife used to be so annoyed. They called the women Rotary Anns.
No.
Not your favorite term, too, obviously.
No.
It was a little demeaning. I always felt it was ridiculous, but... that was the way Rotary was established, you know, back in the Stone Ages. So,
but women came in.
Women came in, and women have done a wonderful job. We've been blessed to have some very special ladies in the Salisbury Club who've made a real impact on what we did for the community and internationally.
Yes, I did Inga Dunham.
Inga and...
And also Laura Hawks.
Both of them were extremely instrumental, especially on the international front.
Oh, yes. When were you president of Rotary?
I was president 05 to 06. Rotary year begins July 1st, so July 1st of 05 to June 30th of 06.
And how's it changed over the years?
Well, the Rotary still has the same focus. Our major goal is the eradication of polio. We're not quite there yet. There are some third world countries that still are hampered with that horrible disease. But the difficult thing right now for most service clubs, I would probably say all service clubs, is to get some of the younger folks interested in service to their community. It seems to be a real challenge there.
It's a challenge for the churches, it's a challenge for the volunteers, it's a challenge for the services. And you said that you were chairman of just about all of the committees.
Yeah, I didn't do so much on the international side, but charitable giving and the speaker committee, fireworks. Was always involved in the fireworks, well, for a good 20 years anyway.
Scholarship?
Scholarship committee.
Okay.
Let's see. It's got to be more. I'm just not thinking of it.
You've done so much, it's hard to remember all that you've done. Would you like to add anything to the Rotary section before I go on to the boards and voluntary activities?
Just that it's been a wonderful experience to be able to give back to your community and to the world. You know, our family, I was brought up that, you know, you can't just take, you have to give.
Yeah.
And
you've given
it's
a lot.
It's not work to me, it's a pleasure and an honor. So,
one of the outstanding essences of Salisbury is giving back.
Absolutely.
No matter who I do, whether it's somebody that was born here or has moved here, they give back. They give talent, they give time, maybe they give money, but it isn't the money, it's the time and the talent that's so important.
Yeah, we're really blessed. I have been around and living in different communities, and I've never seen anything like Salisbury.
We're unique.
We are unique. In a special way.
Now, you've been on a lot of different boards and done a lot of voluntary activities, so I'm going to go through a few of them.
Okay.
And ask you about them, and I'm going to start with the Republican Town Committee. When did you join that?
Well, shortly after we moved here. We moved here and bought our house in 75, so it probably was 77. Something right around there. We became friendly with a number of people that were active. Denise Rice, former tax collector, and Frank Laverty was actually chairman of the Republican Town Committee. And John Bartram was going off. His term was finished as treasurer, and they asked me if I would be willing to be treasurer. And probably nobody else was looking for the job, so I wound up being treasurer for about 4 to 5 years, and
it's a good job.
Yeah, it is. It wasn't that difficult, but it was satisfying, and because the Republicans dominated the picture in Salisbury in those days, so it was a different story than today.
When I came to town in '67, I went to register to vote. And Lyle Nash told me I had to be a Republican. That's why I'm on the Republican voting list.
I could see her doing
that. Oh, yes. There was no choice.
Yeah.
Which is not what I wanted to do, but I had no choice. Then, after that, you were on the Northwestern Connecticut Chamber of Commerce?
I was. Yeah, I was vice chairman of that. And that was in... Based in Tarrington, but it covered all of Northwest Connecticut. So.
Did it morph into the Tri-State Chamber of Commerce?
No, Northwest Chamber is still,
it's still
unique
going.
To itself, yes.
Okay. And you were vice chairman 87, 88?
That sounds right, yeah.
Okay. And how long were you an active member?
I was active until I joined Canaan National Bank in 1989, and then Canaan had a small chamber, so I joined that chamber as secretary.
All right. Now, the Torrington Area Foundation for Public Giving has changed its name.
It has.
It's now the Northwest Connecticut Community Foundation, right?
That's right. That's okay. Right.
And you're a board member.
I was on the board of the Torrington Area Foundation for Public Giving for 4 years when I was based in Torrington, and then when I transferred to Canaan National Bank, I had a little difficulty getting to the meetings, so I asked to step down there. But that was, it's a great organization.
Yes.
It's very, very satisfying. As you know, they do so much for all of Northwest Connecticut.
Oh, definitely. And with all of the people that I've interviewed, the names keep coming up over and over again. It's like the Berkshire Foundation.
Yeah,
it keeps coming up.
Yeah.
Now, I'm interested in the Salisbury Board of Assessment Appeals.
Yeah.
What does that do?
Well, they people have an opportunity, you know, if they feel that the assessment on their property is too high, they don't come in if they think it's too low, to meet. We have a series of annual meetings at Town Hall that people are entitled to come and register a request that their assessment be adjusted.
Mm-hmm.
And John Rice was chairman of that committee when I was elected to be on it, and he educated both Michael Fitting and myself very well. That was the committee, three of us. And we had some interesting discussions with people at, the funny thing, John Rice's favorite question was if somebody said, you know, they assessed my property at $140,000, you know, which means it's probably worth $200,000, and that's way too high. And John would ask, well, if you were going to sell your property, what kind of a price would you put on it? And they'd say $240,000. So John said, well, there you go.
Yeah.
I mean,
oh, yeah.
What's your property worth?
When were you on the Assessment Appeals Board?
I was on that twice.
Mm-hmm. You were two terms. That's all right.
I'm going to do a little guessing on the years here.
That's okay.
Probably 81 to 84, and then later on, the late 80s, 87 maybe to 91, something in that range.
Okay. That was before John Harney got on, John Harney Jr.
Yes, that's right. John came on after I.
Yeah, because he's the only one that I've interviewed for that particular committee.
Okay, yeah.
Board of Finance.
Yeah.
Oh, boy, that's a tough one.
Yeah, it was. With the banking background and the, you know, fortunately an ability to understand numbers, it wasn't all that difficult. Carl Williams was chairman, which made the job a lot easier.
Oh, yeah.
Because John would generally have most of the work done before we got to the meeting. Carl would say.
Yep.
We had a good board. Art Eddy was on there with me.
Mm-hmm.
Sandy Gomez, name was Gomez in those days.
Oh, I know. I've done both of you.
Yeah, okay. I don't think who else was on there. But Jack Rogers had just gone off. He was on prior to Carl Williams. But that was, and then Bill Willis came on, and I should know this, but I think Bill may still be chairman.
He is. I've done him, too.
Okay, yeah.
I tried to cover as many committees as possible.
Sounds like you've done a very good job.
Do you remember when you went on the Board of Finance, roughly?
It's probably 20 years ago.
That makes sense.
That would be...
About
89, 99. Oh, no, a little later than that, 99 or so.
Okay, that's close enough. And the term is what, 3 years?
It's 6 years.
6 years.
Yeah.
Okay. And you are important in your church with St. Mary's.
Yeah, the church is St. Mary's, but the parish is now St. Martin of Tours. Mm-hmm. The church in Norfolk and the church in Canaan and the church in Lakeville are all one parish, but we've got three locations. And I'm a trustee of the St. Martin Parish, one of two trustees.
Ah, okay. Oh, there's only two?
Just two, yeah.
Who's the other one?
Irene, not sure how to spell her last name.
Then we won't go there. Okay. We'll just say Irene. And you're on the finance committee, aren't you?
I'm on when you're a trustee, you're automatically on the finance committee.
Okay.
And I'm the head usher at St. Mary's. We only have one mass now because our pastor has to
do the three churches.
Go to three churches. Yeah. He's got a horrible schedule. Sundays, 7:30 mass in Canaan, 9:30 mass in Lakeville, 11:30 mass in Norfolk. So it's
that is tight.
Time for a nap at 1:30, I think.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my. You're chairman of the parish council.
I was.
Okay.
I was. Yeah, and...
What does the parish council
do? Well, actually, I'm chairman of the finance committee. Mm-hmm. Back when Father O'Brien was here.
Oh, yes.
Mary Ellen was chairman of the parish council, my wife. I was vice chairman way back. I don't know if you remember the O'Donnells, Dan O'Donnell and Mary O'Donnell.
I do.
Dan ran Becton Dickinson in Canaan. Mm-hmm. But, gosh, that was probably 77, 78 when I was vice chairman of the parish council.
What does the parish council do?
Well, they're kind of like Congress.
Okay.
You know, they look for opportunities to make life better within the parish and oversee the education and the social coffee hours and picnics and dances, fundraisers, that sort of thing. And of course, in the Catholic Church, the ultimate word, it's a bit of a monarchy. The priest has the final say, so the parish council is more advisory, as is the finance committee, as is every committee in the Catholic Church.
Yeah, well.
But it's, in my opinion, the smart priests listen because we've got a lot of good people in the community that are offering their time.
Yeah.
And, in some cases, attorneys, accountants, bankers have a background that the priests may not have because their primary focus in their education is the religious side. So it's... I've been very happy with my opportunities to be of assistance there.
Good. Is there anything that you'd like to add before we close the interview?
No, just that it's been a wonderful opportunity to live here and serve here and raise our family here. Just couldn't ask for more.
Thank you so much.
Well, thanks, Jane.